All please stand and pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we'll have presentations. The Red Ribbon Week 2011, the Best Decorated School Contest.
Good morning. My name is Charmaine Monty, and I'm from the Stanislaus County Office of Education.
My name is Elizabeth Escalante, and I'm also from the Stanislaus County Office of Education.
We'd like to thank the board for allowing us to present these wonderful plaques to these students. They've worked very, very hard, and they all participated in the Red Ribbon Best Decorated Schools Contest, and they did a fantastic job doing different activities every single day during Red Ribbon. So we'll definitely get started on presenting. All right, our first category is elementary school.
And just to let you know, each school is going to be receiving not only a plaque, but some certificates. One of them is from the Board of Supervisors. Another certificate is from Senator Tom Berryhill and from Senator Assemblyman Bill Berryhill. And then also from the County Office of Education. So they're receiving quite a few certificates as well. They had a lot of support.
All right, we will start with elementary. Third place was Capistrano, so we'd like to invite those students up, please.
We'll have you guys come in here.
And we're going to take a picture. All right, thank you very much. Go ahead and have a seat. Congratulations. All right, and our second place in the elementary category was Fox Road. So we'd like to invite them up, students and advisors, if everybody wants to come up. All right, congratulations. Thank you for coming. And then first place in the elementary category is Virginia Parks. So we'd like to invite them on up. Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, now we're moving on to the middle school site. And for third place, we have Roosevelt. Roosevelt, come up. Okay, for second place, we have Ross Middle School. Thank you, guys. And in first place, we have Hanshaw Middle School. Thank you, guys. All right, now we're going to move on to the high school category, and we'll start with third place, Davis High School. Thank you very much. And second place in our high school category is Ceres. Go ahead and come on up. Thank you, girls. And our first place winners are Orestimba High School from Newman. All right, so one more round of applause for all our winners. Thank you so much, and thank you, gentlemen, for letting us present.
The Board of Supervisors would like to congratulate each of the schools and each of the individuals. Well done, and keep it up. Thank you. It is now time for public comment. We have one request. We request Richard Gayton from Newman.
Good morning. First of all, that's a hard act to follow.
Yes, it is.
Especially from Orestimba, my hometown, Newman. What brings me today is all the supervisors have a copy I passed out. It's a personnel manual, tab 23, which titles Separation of Employment, Resignation, Retirement. I'm sorry, I just only made four copies. But this targets people with disability and people on Family Medical Leave Act. If you look in page one, under automatic resignation, it states, an employee who's absent without authorization, without contacting his or her supervisor for three consecutive working shifts, or longer, will be presumed to have voluntarily resigned from the county service. That will be presumed is a big, big, big question. It's one of those questions, if. Well, today I just had the opportunity to file an equal opportunity complaint against this, which my client was under this provision, involuntary separation. What it does, it affects the benefits of all the employees and affects everything. Everything stops. It also affects their retirement. And in order to get this corrected, the employee has to, what they call, petition to set aside resignation. It's too long of a decision, the 30-day window. That's way, way too long. Because, like I said, it affects the employee's benefits and their career. And I understand that there are a lot of people like that, but this certain employee is a model employee for Stanislaus County, works for the tax collector, one of the highest collectors there under the tax collection department. And every year, this employee has to apply for Family Medical Leave Act, which on October this year, she was approved. But due to some if, I presume, there was miscommunication between her doctor and getting the correct date that she was absent from work. But as an employee says, she knows, she contacted her supervisors, contacted her human resources and all this. So she complied. But then again, she was issued this automatic resignation. What I'm asking the board is to review this provision. The last time it was revised was in 04. It's way too long, gentlemen. Way, way. This opens a lot of doors to wrongful terminations, violations of the American Disability Act, violation of the Family Medical Leave Act. So this has to be looked at closely. Wording might have to be changed. Like I said, it will be presumed. That's a big if what happened, if not. But also the petition to set aside. I've been an equal opportunity representative for over 20 years. I've also been a federal union steward and also equal opportunity with the federal sector. This is a harsh, harsh disciplinary action on that model employee. It's way too harsh for anybody. I understand at will, which is quite a pro, you know, I'll give you the time when I'm going to resign and then resign for a new just cause. This is one of a new just cause, exactly that. So I recommend to the board to look at this very closely and update this. This is 8 years old. Next month will be 2012. This was revised in 04. And that doesn't fit today's environment or economic times. I understand there's got to be cut here and there, but I also understand that Mr. Robinson is going to be leaving as a CEO, which he's also partnering on this complaint. But I ask that, you know, some resolution be resolved before he leaves the county. Thank you for your much time.
Thank you. Mr. Robinson, this should make comment.
You can sit down. I just wanted to note that there was a complaint that Mr. Gayton filed this morning. We are in receipt of that complaint. We'll be initiating an investigation into the allegations of retaliation and violation of the Family and Medical Leave Act, as we are required to do. We appreciate Mr. Gayton's interest in this matter and his timely filing of this notice. There's an additional hearing that's already been scheduled before the appeals board, the disciplinary appeals board, and that'll be going forward as a separate matter from the complaint that Mr. Gayton filed this morning. So we are actively working with this.
Okay. Is there anyone else wishing to make comment, public comment period, on any subject not on the agenda today? If not, we will then go to the consent calendar. And do I have a motion or any comment on the consent calendar by the board?
I'll make a motion. We approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed. We will now go to B12, Lee Lundgren.
Good morning to the board. I'm Lee Lundgren, Stanislaus County Clerk, Recorder, and Registrar of Voters. Very nice to be here with you today. We had two items on the board agenda today. The first one was just a consent that you just consented to, and that was with regard to the last election we just held. We're happy to have that done. However, as an addendum to that, the City of Modesto is having a runoff on one of its elected positions, that of mayor, and we're bringing this before the board today to receive approval to conduct that election on their behalf. They gave this information to us together, however, there wasn't a timeliness of bringing it to you until now because we didn't know if there would or would not be a runoff. So now we know there is one. It is scheduled for the 7th of February, and I do have the calendar for it right here, and we are ready to proceed with it. I also wanted to take this opportunity, with your indulgence, to kind of let you know a few things that are taking place in our office. First of all, the American Elect petition. There are several petitions that have been taking place recently, and one of them is called the America Elect petition. This is an attempt to qualify a new political party and to put it on the ballot. And a statewide petition needs over 1 million signatures. Because there was not enough in the random sampling to determine it, we now have to go and check every single signature, of which Stanislaus County holds 19,000. So we've had to hire extra help and personnel to come in and help us check through each of those 19,000 signatures in the period of 30 days, and that's due fairly immediately. Statewide, we are all combining the totals on a daily basis to tell how we're doing. Currently, we're at 921,000 plus people signatures that have been certified so far. So we're getting very close. Los Angeles, of course, has the most. They have hired 200 people working around the clock to go through their signatures, which are close to 800,000. So that's a big amount that's taking place. Statewide petitions, there are two additional statewide and 31 petitions being circulated. And those would now go under new law on the November ballot should they succeed in having enough signatures. There's a residency confirmation postcard that by the 90th day prior to the next June election we must send out, and that will be about 180,000 postcards we'll have to send out to our various voters. As you are aware, the Veterans Memorial District has been attempting to get an item before the voters, and a letter was sent to the chairman of the Veterans Committee requesting he set up an appointment and bring his remaining signatures in on January 3rd, which would allow him to be placed on the June ballot. Of course, there is the runoff for the City of Modesto, and there's redistricting. The redistricting job, as you guys have done. However, ours is now in place, and we're busy putting that together. The Secretary of State has given us a deadline of December 16th, and by that deadline, we need to have been responsible for updating the district data with the voter registration database and the GIS system. So we are in need of public work support to about $2,000, and we're double-checking and may need SBT, Strategic Business Technology support, also to double-check to make sure all those lines are in the right place. This board did an absolutely phenomenal job in accepting lines that are not confusing, that are very clear. The state did not do the same, and there's a lot of slivers that have been created, which is very unfortunate and expensive in the future. However, we're doing our best to get those into place for the next election. We have an accessibility grant we are applying for. It's $20,000, which will allow us to obtain a more accessibility for our voters at the polling sites. And we were going to do something new, the law has just been recently passed. We think this would be a big money saver should people get on board. It's called an electronic sample ballot. It allows us to ask people if they would like to opt out of getting a physical sample ballot pamphlet in the mail, and instead they can go online and check the sample ballot pamphlet. And, of course, the mailing of those is a very tremendously large extent of our cost factor. So we're hoping that we have a high-tech group that would like to participate in that and save some finances on that. Anticipated revenue, I know the board's always interested in this from our last election. It's being billed right now. The budgeted amount is $451,000. That's the budgeted revenue. In 2007, the revenue was $538,000, and the actual revenue in 2009 was $642,000. So we're hopeful that we'll be a little bit higher than our $451,000 budgeted amount, but that was, you know, being conservative. And finally, the primary is set for June of 2012, and the primary anticipated cost is $743,700, of which we only have a partial amount of that, and we'll be coming back to the board to ask for the rest of that. Do you have any questions that I can answer?
Any questions by any members of the board?
I have one, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Has any decision been made on the manner in which central committee members are going to be elected, whether it's going to have to go to a central committee caucus or are they just going to run on the ballot like everybody else?
If you're talking about the 2009 decision in which there, it used to fall into the plate of the registrar of voters to make a determination as to where central committee members would run, how many would run, etc. And now that has been turned over to the central committees themselves. Should you wish help or direction with that, we can help. Is that what we're talking about?
It wasn't especially the number of members that are going to run in the district. It's just whether or not they're going to appear on the ballot.
Oh, okay. Discussion floating at this point in time to get the board up to speed on this, that central committees are not political positions. They are not serving the people. They are serving a private entity. And when they were first initially by the legislature allowed to be placed on the ballot, there is no charge if you wish to run for a central committee position. It is completely supported by the voters and the citizens of the county. There is discussion of taking that off of the ballot and having that become a private election, such as homeowners election or anything else, and that has not been decided at this point in time. But I am heading for new law tomorrow, and that will be up in Sacramento, so any of the new laws that have been passed, I'll find out about them in case that could pass, and I don't know.
Well, if something changes, I'd like to know.
I will absolutely let you know immediately.
Just going back to the amount of members that are in a district, how is that going to be determined?
It's still determined the same way it was before, which is you go back to the last gubernatorial election, and it's how many people actually voted in the last gubernatorial election. Not really registered, but voted. And that's how that determination is made. It's a pretty complex math thing.
I never did understand that, but there's been no change then.
To my knowledge, no.
Any other members have any questions at this time? If not, I'll open it to the public. Anyone in the audience have any comments at this time? If not, I'll bring it back to the board and ask for a motion.
Lee, just real quick, the $250,000, whatever, $250,000, $300,000, we submit a bill, just to make me familiar on how this works. We submit a bill into Modesto, and then once we determine the cost of that election, is that the way that works?
Which election are we talking about?
The mayor's runoff.
The mayoral runoff election, we give them an estimate, and we estimate not for the entire election, but we estimate per voter. So City of Modesto has 90,000 plus voters, almost 97,000 voters. We give them an estimate based on 100,000 voters. The absolute maximum amount of affidavits of registration are beginning to come in because they're beginning to get ready for the next upcoming presidential election, which is a bumper crop. There's always many, many people registering for that. So the numbers in Modesto are actually rising, and they can continue to go up and be counted for the next election up until 15 days prior to the election, which is often the end of January. So the amount that we give them is an actual amount. So we're giving them the estimate is around $250,000 based upon, I believe it's $2 to $4 per voter in that range. I could be wrong with that specifically. But we give them a range. The more voters you have, the less it is per voter. So the number fluctuates. But they will be billed the actual amount, and they are aware of that.
I just wanted to comment. I'm happy that Modesto is utilizing your department to run this election.
Yeah.
And very well run elections at our department.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Any other comments, or we should make a motion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Passed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We now will go to B13. Kim Furtick.
Good morning. Oops. There we go. Good morning, members of the board and Chairman Monteith and Chief Executive Officer Robinson and Mr. Doran. My name is Tim Fedorchek. I'm with the Chief Executive Office in Capital Projects, and we're here today to talk about the Capital Improvement Plan, discovering how difficult it is to both do the PowerPoint and speak at the same time. Multitasking is not my forte. There we go. This morning, we're bringing to you the final edition of the Capital Improvement Plan for fiscal year 2011-2012. It's ironic, in fact, some of us were chatting just prior to the meeting, that it's ironic that we're coming to you with a final Capital Improvement Plan of $1.36 billion in a time where we have such difficult economy and trouble with budgets and funding everything, but it also underscores the importance of long-range planning and understanding what our capital needs are over the long haul so that we're prepared for those as those come up in the many years to come. Indeed, the Capital Improvement Plan is our county's long-range planning model so that we can anticipate those and to move away from doing just simply a year-to-year look at what some of these large expense items may be, but to be able to anticipate them over time. And to that end, not only the Board of Supervisors, but the county's department heads have done an enormous job of culling through a list of needs that the county has or anticipates over the next 20 years and putting that together in a sensible list of prioritized projects, as you'll see in this final Capital Improvement Plan. To that end, I'd also like to thank very much, and in particular, the Public Works Department, for they are a good, probably two-thirds of this plan with roads and traffic projects is a tremendous amount of effort. Also, I'd like to thank Marnie Artis from the Chief Executive Office, who's done just an extraordinary job in pulling together all this information. So with big thanks, we have put together the final Capital Improvement Plan for your Board of Supervisors consideration this morning. With that, I just wanted to run through, first of all, a little bit of the basics. Wanted to advise the audience and persons at home that I'll be giving the website address so that you can conveniently look this up and peruse this entire document. And then obviously, if we have any questions at the end, we'd be glad to take some questions. The Capital Improvement Plan is truly a list of the county's permanent improvements, one-time fixed asset types of improvements that are anticipated over the next 20 years. Those projects are categorized, and we've categorized them a couple different ways in this final Capital Improvement Plan. One is by what we call the implementation category, and we've rated those. I'm going to run through those categories in just a minute. We've rated those according to whether or not we have been able to identify funding and a high priority for that. And those, again, are individually reviewed by the Board of Supervisors prior to actually starting any work. We come back to the board with a specific plan and a specific financing plan for each project that moves forward from the capital improvement plan. But the CIP also does another huge thing for the county. It also helps us to identify projects, needs that are growth related, and how those relate to the public facilities fees plan, and how we can differentiate between those things that are maintenance projects and those things that are growth impact related needs. The CIP allows us to review things also in terms of the board's priorities. And that way, with the help of the Board of Supervisors and with the help of a review team that reviews each of the capital improvement plan projects throughout the county, we can help to guide and make sure that what we're doing with our long-range capital projects would be to follow those priorities that are established by the Board of Supervisors. In addition, once that groundwork has been established, which happened last spring for this particular final list of CIP projects, we come back to the Board of Supervisors with an initial, what we call the preliminary capital improvement plan. And what that really is a project list of these long-range project needs. We came to the board on June 28th of this year and approved a list of projects in each of the categories. And that's the very same list that you'll see in this final capital improvement plan summary. After that happens, the preliminary project list is evaluated by the planning department, and then the planning department takes their recommendation as to the general plan consistency of those projects and evaluates those and presents those to the county's planning commission. And then the county's planning commission in, I believe it's August, we'll see the date in just a moment, comes back to the county, back to the Board of Supervisors with a final list and a recommendation that establishes the projects as being consistent with the general plan. Let me talk a little bit about the implementation categories. There are three main implementation categories. One, as I had mentioned, were the approved and funded projects. Those are what we call the Category A projects. Category B projects are those projects that are of high priority but may not have all the elements together. They may not have a funding plan together, or not all the funding has been identified for those projects, or they may be that the funding's in place but the detail out of the project has not been reviewed with the Board of Supervisors. And so those projects which are high priority, high need, and that we would probably anticipate coming to the Board of Supervisors with over the course of the next year or two are what we call those Category B projects. The third list of projects are projects for which we've developed a master plan in the county. And a great example of that is our Parks Master Plan. Virtually all of the departments have a master plan that looks at specific elements of their needs relative to their department. What we want to do then is to be able to move those forward, but they require a source of funding. They require greater detail and greater analysis before we can elevate those in priority. So those individual projects are pulled together. We do have a kind of taking advantage of the time of year, we have Santa's wish list, which is a Category D projects. And those projects, to be fair, those are the projects that have been identified as a need, but they really deserve and need additional analysis to be able to ferret out which components of the projects are feasible, whether the projects can attract any funding. They may be the projects that are 10, 15, 20 years out into the future that really need to be fleshed out in a greater level of detail before we can elevate those, before we can recommend the elevation of those projects as a higher priority to the Board of Supervisors. For the purposes of the Capital Improvement Plan document, we've put cost estimates as best as they can be estimated for the first three categories, the highest priority categories, the A's, B's, and C's. The D projects, at this point, because they're so nebulous, have just been identified basically in a very rough scope, we did not include in the cost analysis because, quite honestly, there's a lot more analysis that needs to be done. So look at the list of projects. As I mentioned, we have a $1.36 billion capital improvement plan. That's to say we're a growing place, and we have a lot of needs that are developed in the county. This is no surprise. Our capital improvement plan has been of this magnitude for several years. The projects are basically divided into the A categories, which are, and I might be able to use a pointer here, the A category projects represent about $153 million or 11% of the projects in our current list, the final list as we've proposed. The B category projects, the pending implementation projects, would be $182 million or 14%. And you can see that the future projects that are planned out there that have some additional work and some funding to be found are the great majority, 75% of the projects, a little over $1 billion worth of those projects. When comparing to the last year, the fiscal year 2010-2011 final capital improvement plan, you'll see in total, and this chart shows the A, B, and C categories at the top, you'll see that we've slightly increased the total. We went from $1.32 billion to $1.36 billion. We have a net increase of one project. I wanted to talk about that a little bit. In each year, we add projects that are newly identified that are needed. We deduct projects that are either have been completed or have been removed from the list because they either are no longer identified as being needed or they're not a priority or for whatever other reason they come off the list. We also go through all the projects that are on the list and update the estimated value of those projects. And then internally between the categories of projects, the ones that may have been on the Santa's wish list, the category D, may have been elevated to a category C project or a pending implementations projects may have been elevated to an approved and funded project, and indeed you'll see that it's happening. So we have one additional higher priority project that's included within the final list, and one long-term project, future project, that's been added to the list. When looking at the list according to the board's priorities, again, you can see that they've remained relatively constant to what they were last year, given a slight increase in the values of the projects. The big bulk of the projects are the well-planned infrastructure system projects, and those are because the Public Works Department, with all the roads projects, traffic projects, bridge projects, represent the bulk of the dollars in the capital improvement plan. In terms of the schedule, as I mentioned, the Board of Supervisors reviewed the preliminary list in June. The County Planning Department went to the Planning Commission with recommendations with regard to the capital improvement plan's consistency with the general plan. That happened in on August 5th, and the County Planning Commission did make a finding of general plan consistency, and with that, we're bringing back to the Board of Supervisors then the same preliminary list that was approved in June with the Planning Commission's adoption and the recommendation for adoption of the final capital improvement plan today. I promised that I would give you the capital improvement plan website just so everybody can identify that. If you go to the county's general website, which is www.standcounty.com/capital-projects, there's a link, as indicated on this slide. There's a link to the recommended final capital improvement plan. We have for you one project, and that is to adopt the final recommended capital improvement plan for fiscal year 2011-12. And that's now that the Stanislaus County Planning Commission has found it in conformance with the county's general plan. I'd be happy to entertain any specific questions you might have.
Any member of the board have any questions?
The important question is how many projects were taken off because they've been completed in the last year?
There were some projects. Some projects were taken off, and I can tell you I've got a list of the projects that were actually deleted. I don't know that I ran the count number off them, but I can tell you that we've had the completed and removed list is, if this helps, there are roughly, about 10, 12 projects that came off the list. Some of those include, some of these were, and I don't have them differentiated based on whether they were completed or removed for other reasons, but some of those were the Turlock Community Services Center, Oakdale Riverbank Community Service Center, Turlock Transfer Facility, and that was a Public Works Transit project. We have Morgan Road Operations Yard Facility Master Plan. I think a lot of the master plan itself has been completed. So there are a number of projects. I have a total value of those were just over $10 million.
And that's really obviously what we're looking for. And I love to see the A-list value going up. That's good. I noticed on page 214, the Hatch Road segment, I believe that's a completed project now, too. It's still on the list. So we can tear page 214 out.
Yeah, and I have to apologize. The it's kind of a long span between the time
yeah.
we developed the preliminary list and
absolutely.
It's approved. So, yeah, we'll pick that up in the next year.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Boss is here. If I may, Matt Machado, Public Works Director. A couple other ones that are still on the list but are completed, the Grayson Road Bridge over Laird Slough. That was completed, and what we found is because of the timing to get the CIP updated, we didn't have the final on some of these projects, and so we left them on the list. Next year, a bunch of them will drop off again, including Carpenter Road Signals at Beverly and at Robertson Road. That's still in the CIP today, but the project was completed probably 4 or 5 months ago, and so there's a handful that don't show up to be taken off, but they are complete. We completed about a half a dozen road projects this year, and they will be coming off the list.
Matt, just to add to that as well, we've had kind of the opposite effect happen on something. We've elevated to an A category project, obviously our Juvenile Commitment Center facility, which is now in the ground and underway. That moved pretty quick once we were able to secure the state funding mechanism, and so that was just updated to an A approved and funded project this year. So we have that happen in the CIP.
Supervisor DeMartini.
This is our Public Works Director is here. About 3 years ago, Stancog approved the signal on Las Palmas and Elm Avenue that's still yet to be put in. Can you tell us what the status of that project is?
Sure. I think it's actually pretty well represented in the document, but as a more specific update, it's going to bid this fall, and we will be starting construction in the early spring as soon as the weather breaks again. We had some delay with right-of-way acquisition. Took us about 2 years, and then we had some PG&E overhead utilities that had to be relocated. Took us about an extra year, so it's about a three-year delay. We're ready to go. All right-of-way is acquired. Utilities have been moved, and we'll be getting bids here shortly on that project.
Okay. I had on the question on Coroner's facility, which you show in the our main document of $5.6 million for a coroner's facility, but that there was a $10,000 study to see if the medical arts building would be suitable for the new coroner's facility. But do you know what the results are from that $10,000 study?
Yes, the result is that the study by Harley Ellison Devereaux did conclude that the medical arts building is a feasible site for the coroner's facility. And in fact, we'll see a large difference between the original master plan at the Public Safety Center site, which was $11-something million for that project, and a cost for retrofitting medical arts building, the former medical arts building at 717th Street. And you will be seeing come forward in the next weeks, we believe, a recommendation to move forward with that project. In fact, there's an item before our Capital Facilities Committee later today regarding
that. Okay. This item seems out of date that's in the book because it just mentions the study, but yet there's, I knew that study had been done, but it seems that it's a little out of date.
One of the challenges in putting together the capital improvement plans is that it will always be lagging just a little bit from a few months, and we do the best we can to update it through the year as projects are completed or projects are initiated, but it takes months from start to finish to get the document through all of the channels that are required and through the reviews that are required. So you will see every year some projects that where the status has changed by the time we get it to you, and you will note that next year when this comes to you that it will have all the corrections that each of you have individually identified, reflecting the current status of the project as of the startup of the next year's CIP. And that's the difficulty. It just takes so many months to put such a complex document together that requires so much input from so many individuals.
If I can just add to the, I appreciate those comments, because we will in 3 weeks begin the instructions to go back out to departments for updating this for next year. So.
Any additional?
Coroner's facility, we've been working on that for 5 years. And
it's been a long effort. There's a number of, the planning originally had included looking at the coroner's facility at the Public Safety Center site, and in fact, the thinking for a long time has included that since the master plan for the Public Safety Center has been in place. And that's been not just a few years, that's been decades. So you're correct. We're trying to find the right solution to be able to move that high need project forward as quickly as we can.
Okay, thank you. Any additional comments or questions? If not, I'll open it to the public at this time. Anyone wishing to make comment or question? If not, I'll bring it back to the board. And what are the board's wishes or comments?
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? It is passed. Okay, now we'll go to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the California Department of Toxic Substances Control regarding the property at 1425 La Loma Avenue in Modesto, California.
Referred to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a letter from the Doctors Medical Center regarding the operating hours for the intake of patients at Doctors Behavioral Health Center.
Referred to the Chief Executive Office, Behavioral Health and Recovery Services.
This board has received a letter from the California Department of Conservation regarding the Turlock Irrigation District's intention to acquire Williamsonette Preserve land for the Houston-Grayson 115 kV transmission line in Stanislaus County.
Referred to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received a notice of public informational meeting on Wednesday, December 7, 2011, at the Mark Twain Junior High School from 6:30 to 8 p.m. regarding the State Route 132 West Freeway Expressway.
Referred to the Department of Public Works.
This board has received a copy of the 2011 Williams Report for the Stanislaus County Schools from the Stanislaus County Office of Education.
Acknowledge receipt of report.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Officer, Risk Management Division. At this time, any board supervisor have a report? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't want to pull the item that the revision to the ag element over the buffers and setbacks was a badly needed adjustment to the ag element as item D1. This did not work as we originally intended, and so it had to be revised. Sometimes agricultural operations were being required to buffer from themselves, and it just created all kinds of problems with the Ag Advisory Committee. So this has been remedied now, and I'm very happy with the result. Also, I'd like to report that the work through a private group on the revitalization of Laird Park has begun last week, and there's different people that are doing different things on that park, so it's underway now, and by spring we should have a new regional park with a new sprinkler system, water system, trees, and should be really nice for the residents there. So it's in bad shape right now, but the work has started, And the last thing is to remind everybody property taxes are due, and you get a few extra days this year. Because the 10th falls on Saturday, you can wait until Monday now.
Supervisor DeMartini, Supervisor Wetzel, myself, Christine, Clerk of the Board, attended also interim, or, well, the CEO-elect, CEO, what is your title now? Assistant CEO, Monica Nino. We attended the CSAC conference in San Francisco last week. Not only is it a great networking opportunity because misery loves company, but they had some great breakout sessions on realignment, on retirement, things that are relevant to us. It really is a good opportunity, and I think Christine with the Clerk of the Boards Association meets at the same time I think the county councils do, but it's a great opportunity to not only network, but to find people who have common problems so you're not constantly reinventing the wheel. And I speaking for myself, I always enjoy it. I know for Public Works, there's a great opportunity there with the, they have a very large, what do you call it? I'm losing my verbiage right now. Where they show everything. It's the
exhibit hall.
Exhibit hall. There you go. Where they show the newest technologies for different members of our organization. So it was a great time, a great networking opportunity, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you. Any additional reports? If not, then we go to the Legislative Fiscal and Management Report, Chief Executive Officer.
As we know that the second half of December will be an important two-week period as the state determines whether the budgetary cuts will need to be made. December 15th is a magical date. I wrote myself a little note here that we seem to have had much coverage but very little information relative to what may happen on and after December 15th if and whether the cuts will in fact occur. A number of legal challenges have already been filed, and we are pretty confident that the revenue anticipated by the state is coming in significantly short of expectations, so we'll have a better handle on what the status of the revenue collection is after the 15th. We don't have a good feeling about this. However, we'll just have to wait and see. The governor has filed a voter initiative for house rent sales tax and higher income taxes for individuals making more than $250,000 per year and joint filers over $500,000. The governor staff's estimate is that the plan would raise $7 billion annually for 5 years. We just have to wait and see how that one floats. That's all I have.
Comments by County Council.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, at the adjournment of today's meeting, we'll have a closed session to conference with legal counsel related to existing litigation involving one case. This will be held pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision 8. The case is Nicholas Honcharoo versus County of Stanislaus, Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 642-200. Additionally, there will be conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation involving one case pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision C. We do not expect to report out on either matter.
This meeting is now adjourned.